John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello, welcome back to the John Richardson Show podcast. This week, reunited with powerlifting queen Angela Barnes.
I was going to sing that reunited and it feels so good, and then I remembered I can't sing, so I didn't.
I don't think that's necessarily a barrier to singing.
Well, that's true.
In most cases.
Yeah.
Do you want to
do it?
You
could also tune it afterwards, couldn't you? No, I don't want to.
Shall we? Can we do that? Go on, sing it, and we'll see how good we can make it sound.
Don't put me on. Don't make me sing. Will's really enjoying this.
I'm not making you sing. You said you wanted to sing.
Yeah, and then I explain why I didn't.
The tension you can hear is 3 hours of company that two people who made a pledge early on to be nice to each other.
It's been really hard.
It has, and it's been tense, and you can sense now both of us just wanting to get out of the room and just really be mean.
Yeah. Language that's going to come out of my face as soon as this stops. Oh, John.
Ooh, I might just leave the mics up a little bit just to catch some of it. just on the way out.
Future blackmailing opportunities.
You can hear how we got on in our attempts to be nice to each other, and lots of a new feature called I Love You Bot, where we invite people to get song dedications, but with the necessary caveat that they have to be slightly mean about the person they want the song for. If you want one of those, if you want to join in anything, it's john at absoluteradio.co.uk. Enjoy the podcast.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Hello, it's John Richardson here on Absolute. Angela Barnes is back. Hello, Angela.
Woohoo! Hello! Nice to be back. Thanks for having me.
Can I say welcome home? Is that too much?
Oh, no, I like that. Yeah? I've always wanted to belong somewhere, John.
All right, well, you belong here.
Oh.
The home of great rock and roll music.
I made that sound a lot sadder than it was. I'm fine, guys. Don't worry about me.
Do you know, Angela?
Yeah.
This is a bold open. You're a little bit tired and vulnerable today.
I am. Can you tell, John? I am a little bit tired.
Because it's like looking in a mirror. I'm a little bit tired and vulnerable.
Oh, this is going to be a sad show.
Well, I don't think it'd be sad, but it might be. It might be the nicest show I've ever done. Because should we just be nice to each other?
Yeah, why not? I think we both need that, don't we? I think we can do it, John.
I think that's what it is. I feel like I'm one sort of ill-judged quip away from a workplace tribunal or just a lot of therapy.
I think I did listen to the pod last week. And,
did you?
I did. And there were times when I felt for you because Roisin didn't hold back, did she?
She went in two-footed. I think that's where the start of this whole vulnerability started. But I'm glad you listened. For those of you who weren't with us last week and have not caught up, I've sorted your lives out first and foremost, but luckily you are listening to the tidiest, if not the cleanest show on radio. So here's what you missed. This pretty much encapsulates last week's show. I keep all my moisturisers that I can't pronounce in a pair of big knickers.
Fair enough. Who doesn't?
Yeah, got absolutely no recollection of saying that. Don't know what that refers to at all, but there you go. More of that coming today.
And by the way, I'm team serum. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was an awkward moment. Last week, Roisin put the case for serum. And I don't think anybody dared say, you're just definitely wrong about that.
Yeah, it's definitely serum, isn't it? I say serum. Will's nodding.
I loved the confidence of it, though. It made me think, do you know what? Each week, I'm just going to pick a word, say it wrong, and just force people to agree with me.
How long before you change the entire English language, John? I think you can do it. Mind you, in your accent, you quite often do it.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, oh, no, I've turned already.
Yeah, we didn't manage the full 3 hours, did we, Angela? I don't think we managed 3 minutes.
Oh, no. Take that back.
We do feed on vitriol, though. That is the problem, as does all comedy. So last week I asked you for tales of falling out with your friends, family or partners on holiday after two people embarked on a long journey together, and I said it would end in tears. Bob sent us this. Before I play this, judging from the sound, I should warn you that it's clear that Bob is now in a witness protection programme.
I was taking a week to Paris with a girlfriend. I had it in 1999. We argued about the hotel, which street it was on, and how dog poo there was. We were there for 5 days. I came home after 2. I then had 3 days to pack my belongings and move out of the flat. When you know, you know.
I feel like that is somebody that I know. It's going to turn out over time.
Oh.
I feel like on my deathbed, somebody's going to go, I was Bob. Oh, my God.
That'll get you back for Sue from Clifton.
Yeah. Well, I've got it coming. That's the problem with all this stuff. if you're arguing about dog poo on a holiday, I think that's probably a sign that Bob's made the right call there. When you know, you know. We also talked last week about a zoo naming cockroaches after people's exes. We got this in from Sharon.
Hey, John, I know you mentioned zoos naming animals after their ex-partners for Valentine's Day last week. Well, just to let you know, Whitby Wildlife Sanctuary raised £1,200 by asking people to donate £10 to name a feral cat after their ex towards helping getting them neutered. Cheers, Sharon.
What I love most about that is she said neutered.
Yeah.
And that made it sound a little bit like possibly getting them drunk rather than neutered.
Oh, do you know what I thought? It sounded like a sort of buy one, get one free where you get them neutered and muted. So not only can, they just can't express themselves in any way they might want to, which is a future we can all get on board with. You can get in touch about anything on the show anytime you like. Email john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
So it's John Richardson here on Absolute Radio with the currently on tour with the show Angst, Angela Barnes.
Hello, yes, I am. I am.
How's it been going?
Yeah, good. I've 3 shows in. I've remembered the show and the audiences That's seem to like it. So great, unless they're it? Luring me into a false sense of security, we're good.
Those first few shows, that abject fear of, what if I just forget it all?
Oh, God.
And even though it's a job where you can just say, ha-ha, I've forgotten it all, and they'll laugh, you don't feel like that at the time, you think.
You really don't. And because you know that they don't know what's coming next, so as long as you say something, you're all right.
I mean,
right.
I don't think we're lifting the magician's curtain too much by saying that some preparation goes in. I'm sure there are still people who go to comedy genuinely thinking it's
just
made
winging
up,
it.
Just 90 minutes of riffing.
Maybe there are, because people will come see you twice on tour. I'm always, I've seen you there and then I'm going to see you there. It's like, well, don't do that. You're going to see the same thing twice.
Yeah, I like a bit of that, but I wish there were more of those people then going on and saying, I went to see this person twice. And that bit where they pretended they got that word wrong, well, guess what? They got it wrong in Edinburgh and Brighton. So I'm calling nonsense on that. I'm a bitter, nasty old man who says, I've had a good career, bring the drawbridge up. I don't know how you feel. I don't think we need new talent.
I'm not quite there yet, but you know.
No, not these new ones.
Really? You think that's it? Yeah. We've got enough now. That's the problem is they don't retire comedians, do they? So it's not like it's a conveyor belt. It's just we're all stuck at the top of the escalator piling on top of each other.
Waiting for that tabloid scandal.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm sick of, Angela?
Go on, John.
I'm sick of hearing the words pale, male and stale as an insult. Let's take a minute to just celebrate the work of tedious, over-dominant men who've had a good life and just want the right to travel the country being paid to complain about having had very little to deal with in their
lives. It's about time mediocre men had a break. That's what I say, John.
I think the cojones on these people to stand in front of a paying audience and talk about how difficult they've had it. I think it's an art form in itself, that level of ingratitude and self-righteousness.
This is like watching someone self-cancel. It's beautiful. I don't have to do anything. Just sit back and let it happen.
All these comments are ironic. They're not really.
Yeah, if you say, just say it's ironic at the end, you can get away with anything. That's fine.
So where are you? Where have you been on these 3 shows?
Well, so far I've been to Swindon. Which
lovely.
I know is one of your favourite places. They were a cracking audience at the Arts Centre in Swindon.
It's a cracking venue. That's
it's beautiful.
There,
really good atmosphere there. Lovely.
It's a great city. Where are you going this time? Do you want some help getting there?
So tonight I'm going to be in Ludlow, Shropshire. Oh. And that's one of those slightly awkward places because it takes longer to get there than you think from Brighton, where I live.
You're not avoiding the A23, M23, M25.
No, I've got to do that.
That's got to be your start point. Pease Pottage services too early.
Go around that. I know which services I'm going to.
Might you stop at Cobham? That's a bit early as well.
Too
but
early.
It's a new service.
I'm going to get onto the M40, Beaconsfield.
You're going M40, are you?
I'm going M40, yeah. M40. I think M25, M40, then M42.
Good services.
Yeah, nice big services, lots of choice food.
Got a Wetherspoons. So you're going right up the M40.
Yeah.
M42.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Yeah. It's a lot of A roads. So I think I'm going to go A38, A4133. Mm-hmm. A443. Then I'm Ludlow, I think. Yeah.
It's great radio.
Isn't it?
Somebody's listening who is screaming an alternative route.
Absolutely. Someone's dad is currently screaming.
Tapping on a keyboard. I know, I touched a 443 on a Saturday. Are you mad?
Are you crazy?
Not when Ludlow FC are emptying out. Not when the gates are emptying after their big clash. John Richardson here on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes, helping the nation to reach other parts of the nation. That's what we're here for.
That could be misconstrued, John, but yes, we know what you mean. Geographically.
Oh, I think I mean it geographically, socially,
emotionally,
romantically.
Nice.
I can't think of the word for food, so I'm not going to say it.
Gastronomically.
Gastronomically, there it is. That's why you won all five on our
segment. There you go. See, words, it's my thing.
I've been playing that word game that you told me about, and I cannot get to the secret level that you told me about.
Have you, you're not a queen bee, John?
I'm not a queen bee, no.
Keep
I'm
trying.
I'm an angry bee. I'm a solitary bee. I'm burrowing
He's
into
a
the
drone.
Dirt. I want to be on my
drone.
Own. I don't even like honey.
John, I feel like I wish you were here in the studio because you look like you need a cuddle. You really do today, doesn't he?
I'll lash out, mate.
He needs a group hug.
One of them moods. You got to hug me, the arms start
Scratch
flailing.
My eyes out.
Like trying to hug one of those inflatable things outside a garage and just start windmilling with my arms. Angela, you've got to have a little bit of everything. It's all about balanced life, isn't it? So
it
if you're
is.
Going to have all that fun stuff we just had,
yeah.
you've sometimes got to lean into the dry banter as well.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm pleased to be announcing that Angela and I will help you navigate certain journeys in your life. Mm. I'm very anxious because Selena has sent in a voice note. Will has to press a button. It's the face of a man who can't control himself and is not going to be able to press
this
button.
He's crying a little bit, John, but he's going to be all right, I think, aren't you, Will?
Here's a message from Selena, Mark, Lewis and Bertie the dog.
Hey, John, I know you like mapping out routes, especially in the north. Well, me, Lewis, Denise, Liam, Blake, Jane, Oscar and David have been up in Staithes on holiday, and we need to get back to Cleethorpes. Can you tell us what route we need to take?
How many cars are that lot in? Are they in a minibus or are they in a
Kicking
convoy?
Kicking the teeth for Jane there. There was a little pause before Jane
on
there.
Oh, yeah. As Jane listens to this going, and?
Yeah,
and?
Jane's in the back seat. I'm here. I've never been to Staithes, but I'd like to.
So where is it? Staithes.
Staithes. It's a beautiful little village, but it's one of those difficult to get in and out of.
Where in the country are we talking, Staithes?
Northeast.
Northeast, okay.
Yeah. So it's a tricky route, that one, because you don't really want to sandwich all the... Is it the 164 that runs down... Yeah,
Cleethorpes,
you're going to have to be using the Humber Bridge, I would have thought.
Unless, right.
I wouldn't be confident not saying it's one of those journeys, but actually, you're better off biting the bullet, get across to the A1, M1 and just rattle down and then come back across. But certainly a prettier drive to take that coastal route past...
What day are they... Well, they're travelling on today, aren't they? So on a Saturday.
Yeah.
You're mad, really.
End of half term. You're done either way, aren't you?
Half term, of course.
It's just a bad time to be moving around the country.
Yeah. I'd stay there for another couple of weeks.
Quit your job.
Yeah. If it's such a lovely place, Staithes, and, you know, people can work remotely now, can't they? If your job won't let you work remotely, just quit.
Yeah, send Jane back.
Yeah, obviously,
there's clearly a tension there. Jane could go back. The rest of you, stay up in Staithes. It's beautiful there, isn't it?
Oh.
Mind you, I have a soft spot for Cleethorpes. I've had many a nice day out
I don't think I've ever been to Cleethorpes.
It's a nice bit of seaside. It's lovely, wide, but it reminds me of Morecambe, where I grew up.
Oh, I love Morecambe. You introduced me to Morecambe, and it's a really... Oh, it's lovely there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Look out across to the Lake District.
Yeah.
As my dad says, why would I want anything else?
Yeah, quite.
Sadly, I was handing him his birthday present at the time. took that back to the shop.
Yeah, why not?
I think get yourself over the Humber Bridge and then just carry on rounding it.
Yeah.
If you hit Lincoln, you've gone too far.
That's quite if you're in life, generally, if you've hit Lincoln,
you've gone too far. You playing Lincoln on tour?
Not now.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show. Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. We've only ever done one dedication on this show, so I think we've earned the right to do a few. But as usual, it's a poison chalice, so I'm asking you to send in the sentence, I love you, but...
Nice.
For somebody in your life. Lisa has been in touch. This is a great start. Lydia, you are my daughter.
Oh, straight in with the maternal bond.
I do love you, but... Please don't tell me how to restack my dishwasher, complain about the crumbs I've left in the kitchen, and return from your social occasions. That's a very motherly phrase, isn't it? You're off out on one of your social occasions, are you? What time did you get in from your social occasion last night? Please don't return from your social occasions 15 minutes before the end of the detective series I've been watching and proceed to tell me all about your evening.
John?
That's 3 for the price of 1 there.
Are you Lydia? I just got caught on the don't tell me how to restack my dishwasher. No, you're Lydia's daughter, aren't you?
No, Lydia is the daughter. Lisa is the mum.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes, I've got confused. So you are Lydia.
Well, you're bang on about restocking the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And you're bang on about the crumbs. I would ask you to question whether you think I go out to social occasions.
Well, I think if you did, you'd get back early and interrupt someone's detective series watching. I think you'd stay to the end.
Oh, I love ruining a detective series.
Oh, I bet.
Wait until you see somebody you recognise from something else.
Yeah.
And they did it. Because they're the actor that's got paid the extra bit to do the big scene at the end where they have to cry and say why they did it.
Clever.
So the minute you go, oh, he was in that. Oh, he did it. That's odd that he's come into this and all he is just the guy who hands out the grapes. Oh, okay. See you in half an hour.
But it's the opposite to that. I think it's the opposite to that on Death in Paradise because... Everyone's doing that to get a free holiday.
Absolutely.
And no one wants to do the acting. So the one who dies and has to do the least acting is the most famous one because they could go, yeah, I'll get my free holiday, but I want to do as little acting as possible.
Absolutely. We'll do the slow motion montage where you find out how I died.
Yeah.
And I'll just lie down for half an hour. Are you throwing your hat in the ring? Are you up for that?
I've been love Death in Paradise. So yeah, come on.
I'll murder you if you want.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah,
can we
I'll
do it in paradise? Should we go into, I could see you as one of the detectives there. Have you ever been offered that job?
Do you know, there was an email some time ago.
Yeah.
There was an email some time ago, but it wasn't the right time. But
what a shame.
I could see me playing a detective.
Yeah, and I could see you as the sort of nerdy British detective that goes over there. That's what
exactly.
They always are, aren't they? You'd
the
be
slightly
great.
Dislikable one that you sort of slightly resent them for solving.
You come to like, but it takes a while, a couple of years.
Yeah, I've been gigging 20 years. TikTok, it's got to happen at some point. Have you got any more I love you buts?
Yes, I've got Tina who says, I love you, but hoovering only the middle of the room is not cleaning. I feel like you've written all of this, John.
It just points to how much passive aggression there is just lurking out in the country.
Much.
You can feel it, can't you, on
we
the
We don't
roads.
Know who that is, but that's got to be Tina's partner, hasn't it? That is a real...
Yeah, you'd think so, unless it's for one of those Roombas.
I love you, Roomba, but...
Tracy says, happy 40th birthday, James. So this is a big one. I love you, but if you continue... to leave grape stems. What a specific bit of hay that is.
Oh, my God, that really is.
Grape stems and empty packets of biscuits in the lounge. I may smother you in your sleep.
Okay, I feel like we need to save this one for a later police investigation.
Yeah, well,
this feels like
be,
evidence.
It could be the first case for me on Death in Paradise.
Yeah.
I'm following biscuit crumbs and the smell of fermenting grapes. Well done, James. Enjoy your 30th. It may be your last. I'm very much enjoying these aggressive dedications.
I think this
is going to become a regular thing. So keep in touch with I Love You Bots.
This is like Passag Radio. It's great.
It really is good. Because you mean it as well. And I often think when you listen to like your late night love songs and all that, you think, well, you mean that today. But this is hate that will last a lifetime.
And I think what the important service is doing, John, is when you listen to those sort of love song dedication shows, it sets an unrealistic standard for young people listening. They think that's what love is and it's pure and it's... This is real life.
Absolutely.
This is real love.
I have many gigs driving back listening to Graham Torrington thinking, that can't be right.
No.
But this makes you think, I'm going to get back to my own place, tidy my own house.
Like Lucy here, for example, right? She loves her husband. She starts it, I love my husband. Beautiful, it's a love story. My husband, but... Putting your used dishes on the kitchen counter above the dishwasher is not, inverted commas, near enough.
Oh, I can hear him saying it, can't you? Yes. Near enough.
Near enough. Put them in the dishwasher.
Josh says, I love you, Amanda, but when you get up during the movie and tell me don't pause it, I'm paying attention like a liar, it makes me want to throw myself into a volcano.
Oh, this is so fun. I love this because I have hearing aids that the TV streams to.
Wow.
And so I can go to the loo and I can still hear the film or whatever.
Incredible.
And my husband can't quite get his head around that. He's like, I'll pause it. It's like, no, it's still happening in my ears. It's fine. I can go
to the pub.
Yeah, I could just go down the
road. That's the perfect marriage.
Yeah, right.
Stick the movie on. I'll be in the lemon flag. I'll see you in 2 hours for a debrief. I think that's, if I may defend Amanda slightly, it is also, to flip reverse it, as the kids love to do, it's quite annoying when the person gets up and says, can you pause it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? And if it's happening more than once.
Is that more annoying than them coming back and then going, who's he? Why has he done that?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
They've missed a bit.
I think the polite thing to do is have an agreement where you don't pause it, but the onus is on the viewer to know if a key thing is about to happen or to rewind if something. If you miss 3 or 4 minutes where nothing's really happened, you can get back in and say you didn't miss anything. It's like when you go to the toilet in football, you say, ha ha, don't let them score, ha ha ha. But you can't really do anything about it. But if they had scored, you know, call them back in so they can see the replay.
Yeah, fine.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then go and clean up afterwards.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
On that lovely note, we've had a message from Donna who says, I love you, B, but if you don't stop fiddling with all the dials and settings when you're a passenger in my car, I will launch you out of the moving vehicle. I am entirely on Donna's side here. It is driver's call in the car. No arguments.
I mean, I'm wrong about this, but I do get annoyed even when the person changes the dials on their own heating and fans. because it's on the central console, I do think, ask permission first.
How do you feel if, because this is one that I, a question that comes up. So say, for example, I'm on tour at the minute with my support act and we take it in turns to drive, but it's my car, we're both driving.
Okay.
So if he's driving and I'm the passenger, but it's my car, do I get to, because I feel like I can control the heating and the radio because it's my car.
I would feel under immense pressure in their situation there because, you basically can't touch anything, but you have to. And also, I sometimes express myself in a vehicle with a confidence that I don't have in the street, shall we say, where a little flash of the old full beam.
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah.
Maybe you have to present brake lights to someone you feel is driving too close.
Nice, yeah.
As I did this week, which I was taught to do by my instructor.
Yeah.
Just let them know you might be about to brake. Yeah. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that in your car because there are people out there who will remember a number plate and carry that with them.
Forever.
So is he quite a calm driver?
He's calm when he's driving. He's not so calm when I'm driving. It's weird, John. I don't know why.
Oh, I'd like some footage.
He's a bad passenger, I'd say.
Angela.
Yeah.
There's no easy way to say this.
I'm a good driver, John.
Okay, fine. She said it quickly and she looked at me when she said it, so I'm not going to question it. Here we go. All fine. Cherie, is it a message for Tony? Let's find out. Cherie says, Dave. So either big news from the Blair House or it's a different Cherie. Thank you. This is huge, this. I said finish the sentence, I love you, but this is...
Bracing myself for this. I'm like,
brace yourself because it ends all right.
Oh, Dave.
It ends all right, but it does sound like the end of a relationship. Thank you for being a great dad to Lucas and Adeline. I love you very much, but the weight on that. Please, could you finish the DIY jobs that you start? For example, please, could you put the shelves up so that there aren't little holes where the shelves used to be? Please, could you paint the bedroom so it's not just bare plaster after you stripped the wallpaper 5 months ago? And please, could you take the bushes that you cut down 3 months ago, then just left on the front garden to the tip?
I've got a slight question for Cherie, which is, what's she doing in all this? Like, is he doing all the DIY and all the...
He's done the hard work, hasn't he? Taking the shelves down.
He's got the brushes out.
Down.
You take him to the tip.
Sarah has been in touch, I believe, Angela.
Yes, she has. Mum, I love you, but is it possible that when I next tell you how to record and delete a program from the Sky Planner, you might actually listen to me? I've been having this conversation with you every single day for the last 15 years. Love your very, very tired daughter.
Oh, Mum.
I think she just wants her mum to remember what she's taught her.
We get Dave to pop round to Sarah's house, delete her mum's programmes from the planner. Sarah's mum, in the time she has available, can pop round to Dave's, put the shelves up, put the wallpaper up and take the bushes to the tip. And that seems a fair and even distribution of labour. Becky has sent us a voice note.
Ooh.
Hey, John. Hey, gang. A birthday shout out for my dad who turned 61 on Thursday. I love you, but a request from Mum, please stop doing your impressions of the football managers every time you watch Match of the Day together.
John, how many football managers have you done an impression of during the course of this show? Because at least one, right?
It's at least one, yeah. And I don't think I didn't want to do Daniel Farker when we were talking about Leeds as well.
I'm going to put on the centre-half because I think he's going to score two goals and it will make John Richardson look like an idiot.
Is he German?
Thank you, Angela.
Good, I'm just checking.
What a wonderful end. You said you were going to be nice to me for the full 3 hours. You were a bit mean in the middle, but we've ended on a high. The next song is for everybody who's had an I Love You But dedication today. Keep them coming in. We'll do more next time.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound that
Literal.
Police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound that
Literal.
Police.
Sometimes you can be too likeable in this life.
Yeah.
And I think it's a line I tread very carefully. You've got to be, you don't want to become a national treasure sometimes. And it's important to just add a little bit of snip, just a little bit of, oh, what's he doing that for? And that's why we formed the Literal Police, where if you hear somebody just excited, maybe they're doing an interview, they're enjoying themselves, they slightly misuse a grammatical phrase, I'm going to shame them on national radio. And that's what this is. If you commit a literal crime, we will figuratively come for you. On our last show, we locked up Rob Beckett for saying he literally pooped himself.
I might have been
put away myself last week. I was thinking about that in the week. I still think there's a defence for what I said. But I'm a small man and I can't admit I'm wrong.
I wish I'd been here last week because it was about donkeys, wasn't it, the thing you said? Obsession about donkeys. I love donkeys. But they do not carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, John.
I think they do. I think that's their job.
No, their job is to carry your bags. Your bags don't contain the world. No.
They contain the weight of your world. Anyway, we're recrossing old ground. This is why I got a longer sentence. If I could have just admitted I'd have got wrong, I might have been out on parole by now. I went down swinging. First in the dock this week, in between us, actor Joe Thomas trying to escape from Bear Grylls on Netflix, subsequently doing a lot of interviews. This is a clip of Steph McGovern getting caught.
Seeing Bear, it's terrifying. My heart's going. It's still going. He just literally came out of nowhere.
He literally came out of nowhere?
Literally came out of nowhere.
What's he talking about? I couldn't work out the...
Bear Grylls.
Bear
Grylls. So this is Bear
Grylls'
new show where he hunts you down on an island.
Is that all right? I don't know.
He hunts you down and you get caught in these big nets. And I'm gathering that's what's happened to Steph there. She's been caught in a big net. And Joe Thomas has said he literally
came out of nowhere. Well, that very much depends on your definition of nowhere. Because nowhere, by definition, is not a place, is it, I suppose? Could get quite philosophical, this one, John.
Yeah. Does Bear Grylls exist?
Well,
you're saying?
Can you come from a place that doesn't exist? You've got to come from somewhere.
Well, for me, it's
all about... We all come from nowhere.
The perspective. So, obviously, everywhere is somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it's controversial to say that. But from the perspective of the person, the world that which you can see is the only thing which you can be certain of its existence.
Absolutely.
So, although I can't see what's happening in my kitchen now, does it exist? I have to admit, because we're in danger of just banging people up every week.
Yeah.
I have some sympathy because Joe Thomas, the only thing he can be certain exists is that which he can see. To him, Bear Grylls has, in a sense, come out of nowhere. I don't mind it.
But nowhere isn't somewhere. I want to give Joe Thomas the benefit of the doubt here.
I don't.
Bit.
Let me be clear. I don't.
You don't.
No, I want to bang him up. But
well, maybe this is a sort of literal ankle tag situation, something like that.
Do you
that.
Think it's community service?
I think it might be community service. I don't think you can lock him up for this.
How's about this then? 20 hours correcting the grammar on graffiti.
Perfect.
So he's got to go around and find misspelt grammar. We're not tidying it off.
Just taking out the apostrophes.
Taking out the apostrophe.
Yeah.
It's not the possessive. So, all right, 20 hours community service for Joe Thomas. This next one I'm very pleased with. I was watching Match of the Day last Saturday. Mm-hmm. I heard commentator Tom Gale, who was commentating on the West Ham-Brentford game, which was the game selected by Roisin Conaty on our show last week. So I do feel partly responsible for this, because by talking about the game, we made it eventful. He uses the word literally twice in the same game. Here's the first one.
Before kick-off, West Ham pay tribute to one of their own, midfielder Ronnie Boyce, a one-club man who passed away this week, aged 82. Nicknamed Ticket because he was the literal heartbeat of arguably West Ham's greatest ever side.
Oh, John, this is tricky, isn't it, this? Because he's not literally a heartbeat. I mean, that's pretty clear-cut.
No.
But he's talking about a man in memoriam.
He's passed on.
He's passed on old Ronnie Boyce.
A legend of the club, of course. Let's just say, do you know what? We can be lenient. We can be good cop, bad cop. We can be good cop, good cop.
Yeah.
Let's say, do you know what, Tom? You're caught up in the emotion of the moment, and life is all about emotion. Yeah. Unfortunately, be nice if it was about facts and admin, wouldn't it? But sadly, people are convinced we should continue to feel. So we'll just pop that one in the back pocket. Yellow card. I carry on listening. Same commentary, same game. Then he said this.
Low ball in, Kunis! And he literally puts it on a plate for West Ham's number 14.
John, I'm not a football fan, but I'm pretty sure you don't put the ball on a plate, do you?
You can't. Well, crockery is banned. It's in the FA guidelines.
It is.
You cannot take crockery, even paper plates.
You can't take them on the pitch, can you?
You can't take them onto the pitch. No, it's not a buffet. It's
a
football match.
Like, who is this commentator? I can't remember.
Tom Gale. Good
commentator. Sure, he's a lovely man, but I feel like what he's done, he's got away with the first one, and then he's like, well, I think I'll get away with that because, you know, Ronnie Boyce has passed away, sadly, and they'll be lenient. Now I think he's taking the mickey. You know, now I think he's pushing it too far.
We don't need to speculate on what Tom was thinking. He's going to tell us. We reached out. He's responded. Here's what Tom has to say for himself.
Hey, John. Tom Gale, Match of the Day commentator. Guilty as charged. As the son of an English teacher, I've spent my life being called out for various crimes. So this is just the latest in a long list of offences. Keen to put up a fight, though, and ask for a reduced sentence because, got to be honest, I've never actually heard of your show. So if it is on the cards, I'm happy to commit to do my bit by becoming a regular listener for the foreseeable and increase your audience figures, downloads, etc., however it is measured these days. Much love, literally, Tom.
Right, first thought, bang him up, right? Just bang him up, throw away the key.
Gotta say, that's a pretty flawless response for me.
Yeah.
He's held his hands up. He's had a little dig, which he's not to know that, but that's what I'm into.
Right, yeah.
I'm into that, yeah. John, I love you, but I don't know who you are and I don't listen.
Weird, it's the happiest I've seen John look for this entire programme.
Absolutely. Because you know, I can't stand. There's so many interviews, people out plugging
so
stuff
sick
now.
Of
we all have to pretend we liked what everyone's done.
Yeah.
It's just lovely to be told. Either not for me or never heard of you. Yeah. Absolutely fine.
And to be fair, you know, until this very moment, I'd never heard of Tom Gale. It's fine.
How'd you like that?
It's fine.
Dorothy's brother.
Yeah.
So it's a lenient week for the literal police. Joe Thomas gets community service. Tom Gale, just a warning.
Yeah.
I'm letting him off with a warning.
The literal prisons are getting full, John. So, you know, we do have to be mindful of that as well.
We literally need more prison space. If you spot a literal offence anywhere, the literal police hotline, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
It's very difficult to say the John Richardson Show. Can you say the John Richardson Show?
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes on Absolute Radio. it's time to discuss news that wasn't in the news that should have been in the news.
Yes.
I have a tale now of, and I'm quoting here, bitterness, anger and disappointment.
This sounds so up your alley, John.
Doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
It's not my teenage diaries. It is. Do you know, we've already discussed Glasgow and
right.
its athletes.
You're going to do the accent again? Is Kevin Bridges coming back in for this one?
I might do a runners go in wrong direction after prankster messes with race signs.
I couldn't even concentrate on what you were saying because it was such a good Kevin Bridges.
Thank you, thank you. How many avocados?
And it's fine because it's clearly punching up because it's better than I will ever be. Race runners in Glasgow were sent in the wrong direction. It's sort of, do you know how I like this story? It's sort of like a cartoon. It's what happens in cartoons. It happens memorably in the film Labyrinth.
There's almost a little sort of theme tune in your head as you read it, isn't there? Like...
Yeah, and I'm not endorsing this behaviour, but one has to be careful to reserve one's anger for the right things. And the whole point of this feature is that the news is very often very bleak.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's worth saying, although that probably wasn't a very nice thing to do, it's okay. And there's talk of health and safety and things like that, and runners being sent in the wrong direction down paths that hadn't been approved and all that. I don't endorse
any of
that.
Yeah, but if you're stupid enough to run down a path that's dangerous, then, you know, lots of people run without signs telling them where to run.
Like,
use your own sort of sense of danger. So you've got to take some responsibility for yourself, runners.
And also, it wasn't an act of... So obviously someone's gone. We're in Castle Milk Woodlands, which is a lovely...
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Castle Milk.
Yeah, Dylan Thomas-esque name for Glasgow Woodlands. It's not just that somebody has gone and moved the signs, which is, you know, if that's where your sense of humour lies and all that. They actually stood on the track pretending to be a marshal.
Okay, that might be a step too far.
I think if you're willing to take a punch to the face or be called out for it, just to on your Sunday morning go and send runners in the wrong direction, you've got maybe applauded is too strong, but I'm certainly going to reward the commitment to the prank.
An ultra marathon widow, I love this. I mean, my husband once ran a 100-mile race and got lost. And so his 100-mile race is 108 miles.
Oh, my
like, as if,
God.
Like, when you're running 100 miles, that extra 8 miles would really upset you, wouldn't it?
I mean, the last 92 would upset me.
I think that moment where you realise you've got lost, that'd be it for me. However close to the end I was, you know, you'd be like, do you know what? I'm done. But to have to run it back again to where you were.
Have any urge whatsoever. I don't know where that... I'm not besmirching your husband. We've spoken about him many times. I love that he makes you geographically themed Formula One adjacent meals.
He does do that, yes.
I think it's exceptional. I think it's lovely that he pre-cooks meals for you when he's not going to be there. He's clearly a wonderful man. However, what's wrong with him that he wants to run for 100 miles?
Well,
and I mean that genuinely. Oh, congratulations to all of them, and I'm sure they feel great about it afterwards. Ultramarathon, let's say, proper signage. You can't have someone just burying a fluorescent arrow. A spokesperson from organiser Akon Trails said they were left with bitterness, anger and disappointment after the stunt and apologised to those taking part. And if you're the sort of person that needs a silver lining, just about a bit of fun, they have been offered a discount on the next race. So if you were involved in the Castle Milk Woods scandal in Glasgow, I'm pleased to report that you have a 50% discount for the next event, which is at Lynn Park in March. And I don't know if you have to prove that. I don't want to add to the problems for Acorn Trails, but maybe just turn up and say you were there. Angela, what have you got?
Well, I think you're like this, John, because you're like
careful.
A pub, don't you? I mean, to say you're like a pub, that's a bit of an understatement.
Oh, I love pubs.
So do I. They have announced the great they have analysed TripAdvisor reviews and crime scores, and they've found the safest and happiest pubs in the country.
Okay.
So they've ranked them the friendliest. You're not happy about this?
Well, it's the TripAdvisor thing, I think, has become a vehicle for tedious people to try and get a free meal.
So really, they're not necessarily the best pubs, they're the least worst.
they're the friendliest. And again, don't mind a grumpy pub with good beer, but equally, let's see, what are some of the friendliest pubs?
Well, where in the country would you say, John, the friendliest pub is? What sort of area are we looking at?
I think you want the pubs that are in areas where you get walkers, because nobody likes to say hello to other people more than a walker.
That's
it's almost forbidden not to say hello to somebody you pass on a country trail.
Yeah.
So I would say Lake District, Welsh Coast, and South Downs.
Okay, well, you're not so this is the friendliest is apparently the Fisher's Arms in Horncliffe in Northumberland. Yeah. So,
I liked all those words. I loved all that. Yeah.
Oh, you look so happy, John.
I did like the Fisher's Arms.
I told you'd like this. All right, then, maybe number two. Maybe number two is better for you.
Yeah.
That's, you're right, Welsh Coast, Pembrokeshire.
Oh, I got one.
The White Hart Inn.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice, that's a proper pub name, isn't it? The White Hart.
As in the deer.
As in the deer, not as in the beating thing.
Yeah, that's some sort of fat build-up, I would say, otherwise atherosclerosis.
Yeah, definitely. You need to get that seen to.
You don't want
if
that.
If your heart is white. Then we've got, what else have we got here? Number three is in Suffolk. Oh, this is an unusual pub name, John.
Ooh.
It's called Case Is Altered.
Ooh.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about.
Oh, I don't think I'd go in there. That sounds like they've gone to... That sounds like you're filling a form in online and you've put something rude and that is the stock response that it changes it to.
Cases altered,
They've just put cases altered because they've gone to call it something smutty. But it would put me off going in. There's something about a traditional pub name that says we're not mucking about here, and that pub name says to me, we're all wacky in here.
You know what you're getting, don't you, with a Red Lion or with a...
Yeah.
You know.
Queen's Arms, King's Beard.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
John at absoluteradio.co.uk. I would like to know what the rudest pub in the country is.
Oh, I bet there's some.
You've been lucky.
Will just put his head in his hands when he said that. Our producer.
I don't mean the rude pub
wept.
Name. For example, you have been lucky enough to drink at my dad's local. It's a rude pub in the most wonderful way that you'll walk in... And you will be told things about how you look and how pleased people are to see you that are so clearly ironic that you feel instantly welcomed. And there's something uniquely British about walking into a pub and have people go, oh, God, here he is. So I don't mind.
I walked into a pub once in High Brooms in Kent, which is not the most, up-and-coming area of the world. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and I ordered a lime and soda because I was driving, which I think annoyed them first, you know, that I'd ordered a lime and soda.
Yeah.
And then she said, do you want ice? And I said, why not? And she went, because it's cold.
I tell you what, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. That would become my local if I knew I was going to get that level of service. So yeah, I don't mind, John, at absoluteradio.co.uk, the rudest pubs in the country.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
That was for everybody who has received an I Love You But dedication today. We'll do more of those next week. One a week, I think, from now on. So it will be gauged on the secret vitriol behind your message. So John at absoluteradio.co.uk, I Love You But, and we'll dedicate one tune a week. We will also do more chat nav and your smugness, so keep those coming in as well. We need to name this show for those who listen via podcast.
I've had a thought about this, John.
Have you?
Well, you'll get one of the themes that it covers, and the other one is because we've tried to be kind to each other today.
We did try.
We tried. Not always successful, but we tried.
Life is a, you know.
So how about windmills of your kindness?
Oh, it's very nice.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I really like it. I'm not going to challenge it.
Lovely.
I've been very lenient. I think I've been quite kind this week.
You have, John.
Nobody went in the literal prison.
My only concern is we've been too nice to each other. Like, I don't know if that's what the people want.
Tune in next week. I'm going to be an absolute beast. I'm not going to say a single kind thing. I'm going to say I'm here with Thingy Bob and Doodah. I'm not going to
one of them absolute. Women.
Yeah, and I probably won't say that. there has to be a line, Angela, and I think you've crossed it. And I apologise on behalf of everyone at Absolute Radio.
Well, I've enjoyed my time on your show, John.
Despicable woman-hating views of famously female Angela Barnes. Enjoy the tour this week. I'm glad to hear the gigs are going well.
Thanks, mate. Tickets still available. Go to my website.
I'm going to say, if you're anywhere near where Angela is coming, we've encouraged the listeners to be kind, but with a pinch of salt.
Mm.
What is the maximum distance you think someone should travel to see you on tour?
You could travel an hour, maybe. Tops.
An hour to see Angela. Yeah. I always feel, with me, it's all about getting out of the car park afterwards.
Yeah.
There's a point at which I'm just funny enough that you get back in and you think that was a good night. When you have to queue for ages and there's only one machine and then you get gridlock. There's definitely, if it takes you more than 40 minutes to get out of my gig, you end up saying, that wasn't worth it.
Wasn't worth it.
It's good for all people who perform to regularly go and watch stuff. Just to give you a gratitude for what a nightmare it is to just go and do stuff. So catch Angela on tour. Sarah Champion is next. We will be back next week with more. Thank you as ever for all your interactions this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, John.
Will. Thank you, Britain.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Thank you for coming in. Catch Angela on tour. Catch Will. Where are you off after this? Mackie D's?
Torquay, something like that. I don't know.
Catch Will at a Torquay game. How are Torquay doing at the moment?
At top of the league.
Never.
Yeah.
Which league?
It doesn't matter, really. Okay.
Nothing matters.
No. It's just a game, guys. Just a game.
Isn't life just a game? Have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining in. As I said earlier, John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Back next week with more. Thank you.